The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome once again, my friends, to our program. I've got a guy that I've known for many, many years on the line. Back with me today, the second time, Mark Altrogi. Mark is a songwriter. He's been a pastor, and now he is retired from that. He is certainly not retired, though, from activity. He's got a lot going on. Mark is also a painter. We talked about this the last time around. He's a songwriter extraordinaire. And I am so happy to have Mark back on the radio program with me today. Welcome back, Mark.
Man, thank you, Mike. Thanks so much. Thanks for your kind words. Great to be back.
Well, you know, I had so much fun with you last time, Mark, that you're one of those guys. We talked about one of my favorite, unexpectedly favorite aspects about Mark Altrogi is that in a public setting, in a conference, he has been known to have the gift of making announcements. That I've never seen anybody with his gift as pronounced as it is in you, my friend.
Well, thank you, Mike.
You have that way. You have a dry humor about you that I don't know. Sometimes it's not as dry as at other times. Sometimes you're just flat out hilarious. But some of the looks that you would give during some of those announcements and the leaders of these different conferences that you and I have attended, especially Bob Coughlin, who is just a great musician. He loved your announcements, and at many worship conferences that he would lead that I've been a part of, you would get up and do those things, and they are priceless, my friend. So are any of those out there on YouTube?
I think so. I think there's one of the worship conferences where I was doing announcements. I think it was one, and I did this a lot, where I would make fun of Bob Coughlin. I think it was the idea of why guitar players are better than piano players.
Because Bob, obviously being the pro piano player that he is, I could get into that one. I like that.
Yeah, so I think that one might be on YouTube.
Okay, I'm going to have to search that one out, and that would be funny to look at and enjoy and just remember again. But, you know, one of the things that we talked about in great extent on the last time you were here and we played a couple of the songs that you've written, I did want to touch on this in the beginning today again, because we're going to go a little bit of a different direction with what we actually play from you today. You as a songwriter have been used by God in songs, and I know you've been, without a doubt, encouraged by some of the words. And just to bring back to you a report, I got a Facebook comment on my personal Facebook page after I had you on the first time, and it was from Wendy Virgo from England, Terry Virgo's wife. And she commented, and I just to encourage you, she commented on how often Terry loves to play your music. And when he's just either praying or having a time of devotion, Terry, for those that would not know, is a church leader used mightily in the whole UK. It led the New Frontiers group of churches. And not only in England, but around the world, really, also even in the United States. And it's our privilege. I know you know him as well as I do. And Cindy and I have hosted them in our home and spent a day with them on the lake, at a friend's lake. We just have had so many wonderful memories. But just for you to realize, Mark, that your music still makes an impact, not only in your own home and the people that know you and worship with you in your church, but around the world, that's got to be just amazing to you.
Well, I'm amazed that anybody would still do any of my songs or still sing them. But I am, I can't believe how God has blessed me just more than I could ever have imagined.
Where did the idea of writing songs? I know we talked a little bit about this the last time, but the first thought that it hit you was did that scare you, or were you excited about putting something down and then adding music to it? Because I know you, like I, were greatly affected, impacted from the music of the '60s, and to see music the way you play music and with your gift on the guitar, to see it be used for God, that had to be a very exciting thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we, I can't remember if we talked about this, but it was certainly the Beatles had a huge impact on me. And I knew that they were songwriters. They were Paul McCartney and John Lennon and later George Harrison. And that, I just thought, I want to be a songwriter. I want to write songs. So when I was in my first band, my first rock band in 10th grade, I wrote my very first song, my very first rock and roll song called As If I Didn't Know.
Uh-huh. Do you have a copy of that?
No, but I could sing a line or two.
That's awesome.
It went... let's see. You're whispering in my ear. What you're saying makes my insides glow. You're wishing I'd hold you near. As if I didn't know.
Oh, that's wonderful. You can definitely feel. You can feel that thing you do vibe in that.
Yeah.
You know, the music of the Beatles, you were talking about the Beatles, and I know there's a lot of people later on, the Beatles, you know, they lost their place of favor in a lot of hearts, even some of their biggest fans. I remember the ban on the Beatles and the record burnings that went on. And I mean, they went from being at the top of the world in a lot of people's minds to really almost just losing it all. And people burning their records. I'm sure later, you know, because I think some of those comments probably were uttered foolishly and without a doubt, but I think also somewhat out of context from what the original statements were meant. But they had their issues, but they made a comeback. And there are, you know, to think about, you were talking about the fact that they were songwriters. They weren't just songwriters, were they? They were extraordinarily busy songwriters. They probably wrote as many songs as almost any artist alive today.
Oh, yeah. And Paul McCartney has continued to write songs through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they wrote hundreds and hundreds. I can remember listening to some podcasts about them, and they, at times, they would write a song and record it in like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then write another one and record it in their early days.
Yeah.
They were incredibly prolific.
And I think it's really, truly amazing from anybody who does any recording at all to realize that they did all of these songs that are still so memorable, and the early mixes from some of those songs were done so well without the aid that we have today with multi-tracking to the degree that we have it today without, and they did all of that. There was no pitch corrections on any of that stuff that they did. And they did many of those songs in one take. That's just quite amazing, their musicianship. But that had a major impact on you and put the bug to write songs. And so when you wrote that first song in your rock band in 10th grade, did you get a lot of comments like people going like, hey, that's pretty cool?
I can't remember. I don't, I don't know. I just know that I thought I was pretty cool for writing it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, you.
I was just going to say that one of the things that I just thought was cool about my band was we did original songs. So I wrote a few others back then that we did. And not many local bands, at least in our town, did original songs.
Right. Yeah. Cover band. Yeah. They were doing other people's tunes. So where did the transition happen? How long after you gave your heart to the Lord did you start turning the secular songs into Christian songs?
I think it was maybe a couple years after I gave my life to the Lord. I called upon the Lord. I called on Jesus to save me. I think in probably August of 73, I was at a prayer meeting. I went to a Bible teaching by a guy named Larry Tomczak.
Oh, yes.
Who I don't know if I told you that story or not of how I came to the Lord, but
go ahead and tell it again. It's worth hearing again.
Okay, well, I was living in Philadelphia in 73 in a cockroach-infested basement apartment of a giant building, a filthy building. And I was pretty miserable. I had a girlfriend, and she was an airline stewardess. And she lived in Pittsburgh, and she could fly and visit me in Philadelphia for free. So she had visited me one weekend and then flew back to Pittsburgh and called me one night. I think it was a Sunday night or something like that, and said, "Hey, I met this guy on a plane. You'll never guess what happened to me. I met this guy. He was wearing a T-shirt with a picture of Jesus on it." And I said to this guy, "Don't you think that's kind of disrespectful to wear a T-shirt with a picture of Jesus?" And he started telling me all about Jesus. And I said, "Oh, that's fine. That's great. Yeah, I go to church. I'm Catholic. I know all about Jesus." Well, anyway, I came home end of August of 73, moved back in with my parents. Total failure. I had failed to make it as an artist in Philly. And I was depressed. And one weekend, my girlfriend came to visit me, and she opened up the newspaper when it came, and she said, "Hey, here's the guy I met on the plane. He's going to be speaking in a little town, a little church 20 minutes from here. We got to go see him." Okay, so we went, and my parents came too, and my girlfriend and I, and this little tiny dinky country church, and a guy standing outside, and he, when I come up to him, he sticks his hand out to shake my hand. He says, "Praise the Lord, brother." And I said, yeah, okay, yeah. Never seen anything like that before.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh boy, what's going to be happening? We came inside, and they're singing songs like "This Is the Day," and a very simple song, very energetic. "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made." Just keep repeating the same thing.
Yes.
Over and over. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I can stand this stuff. I'd just been to a Yes concert or Genesis. You know, I liked all this complex prog rock music. But anyway, so this guy is speaking about the Lord, and it was this young man, Larry Tomczak. I would have been about 23 at the time.
And for reference, what year would this have been, Mark?
This would have been August of 73.
Wow.
And so he's speaking in this little church near Indiana, Pennsylvania, out in the country, and it's doing some kind of retreat, or he spoke for 2 or 3 days. But I was there that one night. Afterwards, my girlfriend, I this guy was not like anyone I had ever heard before.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was like energetic. He believed it. God was real. Jesus was real to this guy. And so after, I was kind of affected by it because I'd never heard anything like that. And so my girlfriend afterwards says, "Hey, let's go meet this guy. I want you to meet him. And I'll tell him I was the stewardess to talk to him." And so we go up, and my parents go too. After I meet him, Larry says to me, "Mark, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart?" I said, "Well, I go to church every Sunday." And he said, no, "Have you ever personally asked Jesus into your heart?" And I wanted Jesus to change me. I was miserable in my life. So he led me in a prayer where I asked Jesus into my heart. He didn't really explain a whole lot of the gospel to me, although I'm sure he'd been talking about it in his message.
Mm-hmm.
But so I prayed, and I remember that night afterwards, I was by myself. I looked up into the sky, looked at the moon, the stars, and I was disappointed because I had hoped I would feel, you know, fireworks going off in my heart, or you know, I was expecting I'd have goosebumps or something. I didn't had no feeling, but I knew I did something. And so that's when I got saved, and then wound up going to some prayer meetings, and then wound up our church grew out of a full gospel businessmen's Bible study, and eventually I was asked to lead worship at this Bible study on Friday nights, and I think that was probably around 76, mm-hmm. 75, I don't remember. But so I was leading worship. And then that's about the time I decided, I want to try to write a worship song, and I want to try to write something, if I can, maybe a little more to it than This Is the Day, because you're still singing that song. Not that that's a bad song. But
you wanted something with a few more lyrics, a few more lines, a few more areas of complexity, huh?
Yeah. So I think the first song that I ever wrote was, so I wrote this song, it was around, I think, 77, 78, I can't remember, 76 maybe, but it was called At the Mention of Your Name.
Mm.
And that was the first worship song I ever wrote. And we did it. I taught it to this Friday night Bible study that had maybe 100 people coming to it. I wasn't teaching the study, but so that was kind of the start of it. And I just remember in the early days just thinking, I want to try to write some songs that have maybe a little more content to them than some of the simple songs we sang.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there weren't songs with content. I mean, obviously, lots of great hymns had been written. But back in those days, in the charismatic circles that mm-hmm. I was in, there were just a lot of songs that you would just sing the same thing over and over and over and over. So even the first song I wrote, At the Mention of Your Name, I think basically it was one verse and a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
You just sing that over and over again.
Yeah, so it'd be repeated too. But yeah, I know what you're saying. And there were a lot of songs back in the early times of the worship movement before it was really taking off. There was a period of time where all of these songs would have been referred to as scripture songs because they were really taken right from the word and then with music mm-hmm. added to it. And I think that was what gave way. Did you ever meet Charles and Paula Slagle?
I don't think so.
Well, they were a couple that came to our church, and they were the first that I had ever heard in just within earshot of being in a congregation where this was going on. And I was a young guy, and I never heard anything like it. It was so beautiful, and he was a piano player. And so, you know, I was intrigued by that because I was a guitar player. But I wasn't at that point in time into acoustic guitar as much as I was electric guitar. And I wasn't yet a worship leader. I hadn't done that yet. And boy, I tell you what, just that concept of putting God's word to music in the way they did it. And it really did help us because, you know, my wife and I were just first married, and there were issues that were going on in around us that were a bit concerning, and we found ourselves singing the Word of God in the middle of talking over these things, and that made a profound change in our heart, and we loved it So that was the beginning. I tell you what, and God's used you in that way. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that in our third segment today, about how that you've taken, and God gave you the vision to take words, the words of Scripture, and make a whole series of music about it. And that's pretty cool, too. My guest, if you've just tuned in, is Mark Altrogi. We'll be back with what I consider to be one of my favorite Mark Altrogi songs, on which Mark is singing as well as being the songwriter for it. And that's going to be coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. I'll be right back. On the line with me today, Mark Altrogi, a friend that I first met. Boy, it was at a conference in 1986 that I saw you. I think was introduced to you then. Wouldn't have been until 87 that I think we had our first proper, longer type of conversation. But boy, I tell you what, Mark, those were fun days back in the 80s when we were serving the Lord in a group of churches that were really connected to each other. And it was so much fun to get to see each other. Even though we lived in Florida and you up there in Pennsylvania, because of the fact that you are our conference was kind of in your neck of the woods, so to speak, that was a really fun thing. So I get to see, got to know you back in the day, and boy, it's hard to believe that this, here we are now already in 2021, all these years later, and to just realize that God has been so good to us to give us the blessings that he has, man, and life together has been fun.
Oh, yes. God has been so good to us.
And here we are in February. Yesterday, you mentioned it in the break, yesterday was Groundhog's Day. When I was a weather guy, Mark, in back in the 70s, I was on television, and I was a weather guy, and the station...
You were on television?
I used to be on... Yes, I was on a CBS affiliate TV station for a couple of years as the weather guy.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this was before you had to be a meteorologist. So I did study weather through the National Weather Service. Those guys, they kind of discipled me in weather. And I still do weather to this day on a bunch of radio stations up in Gainesville. So for all of our Gainesville listeners that are listening right now on a bunch of other radio stations, I do the morning forecast. That's still something I do.
Wow.
But I was, my station manager wanted me to do something for Groundhog's Day. So he sent me out with a photographer and we went to the zoo looking for a groundhog to interview. And I did it. And I interviewed him. Of course, he didn't have a lot to say. And I dubbed in his voice later. And his voice sounded a whole lot like Mickey Mouse back. I was talking like this. Oh, boy. Yeah, the weather's really cold out there. So that was a lot of fun back in those days. But here we are all of these years later. God is still using you in a mighty way. You're still writing music. That's what's so exciting. And you're also making art. But before we do all of that, I want to swing back around to you as a guitar player and a singer. And one of the songs that was published and put out on a CD was a song called I Come Running. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Boy, I'd have to pull up the lyrics or something. I remember Sovereign Grace Music. I can't remember if they were called that at the time or if they were People of Destiny, but they graciously said to me and my son Stephen that they wanted us to do an album. And so that was one of the songs I wrote for the album.
I've got the lyrics and, right here, Mark. If this, I'll read these and let this be. Jesus, I am blind, be my light. Darkened in my mind, be my wisdom. Bend my stubborn will to your own. Open up my ears to hear your spirit. Melt my conscience once again. Help me hate the slightest sin. And when Satan comes to tempt me. And all of that is verse 1. And here comes the chorus. I come running to you when I fear, when I'm tired. Or when I'm tried, rather. I come running to you, to your blood, to your side, and there my soul finds rest. There my soul finds rest in you. So just in verse 1 and chorus are already so many words that many people would think, man, that's a bunch of words and a bunch of really different phrases. But boy, are they sweet. They all point to one thing. And that's what I think is the hardest thing about songwriting, is to get a point so succinct, yet you're using other words, but you stay in a direct theme. You're so great at that, man.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thank you. Well, I was just so grateful I got to do the album. And I think one of the things that just I sort of remember is that I've just all my life, just Jesus has been so kind to me to just keep me aware of how weak I am and how much I need him. So that was probably in my mind.
You know, the whole thing about the grace of God, do you remember your first remembrances of hearing about that? Because I know growing up in the background that you would have had, I did not grow up in the same background, but it was still very much a part of me about earning my own way or being good enough or trying to live the life where that I would qualify somehow. I think it was Packer that had the quote, "We try to smuggle some of our character into our salvation, and we can't do that." The grace of God that Jesus sought us. Do you remember your first remembrances of that?
Well, I can't remember necessarily specifics, but I do remember I was raised Roman Catholic, and I was very much thinking I had to earn my way to heaven. I had to earn my salvation. And I can remember at one point in my life, I became so guilt-ridden for my sins. This would have been in college, I believe, that I went to confession every single week because so that I could take communion on Sunday, so I'd go on Saturday. And I got and I would just sin so much during the week, so I would go. It got to the place when I would go every single week. So I would go to the priest on the right side of the church one week. The next week, I'd go to the priest on the left side of church, so they wouldn't recognize my voice because I had just been there the week before. And then it got so bad that I would drive to Clymer, Pennsylvania, 20 minutes away on the third week and go to confession there. So I was very much, when I heard about the grace of God and that salvation is a free gift that God gives us, it was mind-blowing to me and so liberating, so incredibly.
Absolutely. And, transformational.
Oh, yes. To know that I did not have to earn my own salvation, that Jesus had done that for me.
Ah, that's so good.
Gave it to me as a gift. And I can just remember, I don't know who shared this illustration, but I remember an illustration that, you know, say someone who is if I were a multi-billionaire, and I just said to someone, hey, I'm going to give you $20 billion. Or if someone said that to me, a multi-billionaire, Mark, I want to give you $20 billion. I couldn't say, well, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to earn this. I'll keep doing this. I'll give you 50 bucks a week for the rest of my life. No, not going to do that. You either have to take it as a gift or not at all. You can't earn it.
Right.
So that did transform my life.
That's tremendous. Well, your music has helped people understand the grace of God many times over, Mark. And this song is all about the love of the Lord and the fact that we can run to Him. He calls us. He gives us the grace to do that. This is Mark Outruggy, and the name of the song is I Come Running. Unfortunately, due to internet licensing restrictions, we're not able to play this song. Man, I love that song. What a catchy tune. And, you know, it's so great to have a really great melody line the way that song does. It is memorable. And even though there are a lot of words in it, you just get caught up in it. And yeah, I feel that that influence from the music background that you had that would be very similar. You and I both about the same age. You and I have been impacted similar, both guitar players. You're a Martin player. I'm a Taylor player. That's okay. Both are good guitars. I love your Martin, by the way.
I have a Taylor, too.
Yeah, they're great. But my goodness, you know, what I started to say about the sign of a good songwriter is the fact that you come up with such a memorable melody. That's a real trick. How do you do that, Mark?
Oh, man. Well, thank you, Mike. Well, I tell you one way I do it. there is a book called Steal Like an Artist, and I think it's by a guy named Austin Kleon. And that book says basically that no one is free from influence from others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so what I always tried to do was listen to lots of music. And then at times I would listen, maybe even take a song that someone else wrote, a great song, and I would steal like an artist. I would basically kind of copy that song and change it enough so that no one would know that I did that. And that's what the book says to do. That you can't be free from influences, but be influenced and take the influence and change it then enough so that you're not so much stealing it, but I mean, you are in a sense, but you change it enough so that no one would know it.
And that's very clear, isn't it? There's a lot of music that's out there that is popular music that is similar to other songs that are also popular.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's funny that you say steal like an artist. I thought you first said feel like an artist, but you said steal like an artist.
No, that's, yeah. I could give you an illustration of that. Let's see. I'm trying to get these lyrics up real quick. I wrote a song about I come in to your presence with nothing in my hands. I come into your presence with nothing in my hands. I only bring thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
For Jesus, God and man. So
I've heard that. Yes.
Okay. I stole it from Sting.
Goodness.
Sting wrote a song called Ghost Story, and I don't know if you can hear this or not.
That's funny. So there you go. So what was similar in that would be the timbre, the rhythm, the phrasing, all of that would be similar.
Yes. So you heard that song. Now, this is the first time I've ever revealed this, that I stole it from that song.
Well, I'm hoping you're not going to get served later on today, Mark.
I hope Sting doesn't call me up. So I change it to I come into your presence with nothing in my head. So anyway,
that's something.
So lots of times if I'm, you know, another way that I would get ideas for songs, and I think I might have talked about this last time, but is I would first try to come up with a title. And so I remember one time seeing Steve Cook, who was another fantastic fantastic songwriter, Steve and Vicky Cook. And one time I was on a plane with him and I saw him writing in a journal, and I came back and asked him what he was writing. He said, I'm just writing down song titles. And so I said, oh, wow, that's a great idea. So Sovereign Grace was doing an album, and I think it was based on the Psalms. And so I took one of the songs, Psalms, I was wanting to write a song about. It was about how great God is. And I started just trying to write down titles. Every title I could think of, You Are Great, How Great You Are. No, that one's already been used. Mm-hmm. Great, you know, and I just kept writing titles about God's greatness. And then I wrote down Greater Than We Can Imagine.
Wow.
That's a great song title. So that became the main line in the chorus. Most of the time I would tend to think of, not every song, but most of the time the title would be in the chorus for me. So like the song I Stand in Awe, that, you know, that's how this chorus starts. So lots of times I would write a song by coming up with a title first.
Mm-hmm.
And then that could be in the chorus. And another thing that I would do that just really helped me write songs is I would think the verse tells me something about who God is or what he has done, and the chorus is my response to that.
That's a good plan.
So that not every single song I ever wrote, I followed that, but most of the time I would try to write in the verse something, a truth about God, or an attribute of God, or something that he did, or what he did on the cross, and then the response would be in the chorus. So like in I Stand in Awe, you know, the verse would be, you are beautiful beyond description,
mm-hmm.
too marvelous for words. And so that's the verse. It's talking about the glory and beauty of God. And so then what is my response to that? I stand in awe of you.
Some of the most memorable words to a song that you've written is that one, I Stand in Awe of You. Last time we played that one, and I'm Forever Grateful as well. Two of my favorite Altrogi songs, and you have written so many of them, my friend. In a moment when we come back, Mark is going to, you'll hear, I don't think you're singing on this next one, but it's one of his scripture songs. And he has written a whole series of songs that have taken passages as they are written in the Word, and he has added music to them, and they've become produced, and it's called the Hide the Word series, and it helps us memorize the Bible. That's coming up in a moment. My guest is Mark Altrogi, and I'll be back with Mark coming up. Don't go away. My guest on the line today is Mark Altrogi, a songwriter and an artist. We're going to talk a little bit about the artistry in just a moment, but I do want to get to this thing that we mentioned in the last segment, Mark, and that was the fact that you've written a lot of songs. I'm not sure how far into the process of being a songwriter you were when the idea about doing this Hide the Word series hit, but boy, is it ever fun. And these things are produced, and now I understand that you're offering some new ones on YouTube that aren't produced in the same way in a studio, but it's you and a guitar. And the real purpose for it, if I understand correctly, is to help people memorize scripture, right?
Uh-huh. Right. I always noticed that music helps people to remember things more easily, and that's why commercials do jingles. They use music to help you remember their products. I can still remember products from when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
That, You know, the you'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
That's it.
I might be the only one who remembers that jingle, you know, or you deserve a break today. So get up and get away to McDonald's.
Absolutely.
That was written by Barry Manilow. You probably know that.
But that is a memorable jingle. It's got one of those things that we were talking about, the memorable melody line of that jingle. It just sticks in your head.
Yes. So music has this capacity to help you remember lyrics or words. So I thought at some point, hey, and I think the initial reason I started was I started writing scripture songs to help my children memorize scripture, but also to help me memorize it, because scripture has obviously, I know you know this, but scripture just has changed my life, God's word. And so, you know, his promises bring me hope and joy and counsel in tough situations. And so I wanted to memorize God's word. And I don't know who initially taught me that, but I remember from fairly early on trying to memorize scriptures, and music was a way to help me do that. So I began to try to put scriptures to music to help me and my children. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll try to make this available for other people too. So that's what started the Hide the Word series.
It's called Hide the Word. This particular cut is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and it's called He is the Image. Unfortunately, due to internet licensing restrictions, we're not able to play this song. Just a little bit of time left, but boy, I've enjoyed today so much with my friend Mark Altruggi. That song that you just heard, one of the series of songs from Hide the Word. And those are examples of songs that were produced in a studio. Mark is also, you can go to YouTube, search out Hide the Word, Mark Altruggi, spelled Altruggi. And you'll find some of his later songs where it's just Mark and an acoustic guitar, and help you learn scripture more effectively and memorize it, put it away, hide it away in your heart. Now, Mark, you're also an artist, and, you know, I've seen a lot. Because we're Facebook friends, I get to watch the works that you're in, and you do all sorts of different types of paintings, and those are available for purchasing. People, if they'd like to check this out, they can go to the Etsy website. Is that right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have on Etsy, Mark Altruggi Studio on Etsy.
So that would be Etsy.com, right?
Yes.
ETSY.com.
And I have paintings that I've done available, and also people can order fine art prints of and pretty much any painting. There's lots and lots of prints available in all kinds of different sizes. So thank you, Mike. Thanks for promoting this.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would love to see people take advantage of that. It is your work is great, and it's just amazing. Thank you. Because usually when people have artistic gifts, they usually go in one direction or another, rarely in your case, as many directions. Songwriting, as a player, as a producer of great music, and also great art. It's just not hardly fair, but that's okay. We love you anyway, my man. And I can't tell you how much fun it is to have you on my show.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's really fun to be here. I tell people, well, I like to paint and write songs, but I'm really bad at plenty of other things like home maintenance. And, I'm grateful that my wife, Christy, handles most of our finances, because I'm not very good at that.
Well, we all have our limits, and that is for a fact. And I haven't found a lot of yours, but that's it's good to hear. Now the question is settled. Mark Altruggi, one more time. His name is Altruggi. Check him out on Etsy. Check him out on YouTube. And Mark, again, God bless you. And friends, thanks for being with me today. Time's gone. Gotta run. We'll see you next time on Afternoons with Mike.